Hello, DC. I'm Ashley Emerson, and you're listening to Mayor Bowser's Every Opportunity to Rise podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Mayor Bowser's Every Opportunity to Rise podcast. My name is Ashley Emerson, and I am the director of the Mayor's Office on African American Affairs. Our office is charged with connecting DC residents to DC resources, but also celebrating the rich history and culture of African Americans in our city, but also advising the mayor on issues that affect African Americans in DC. So I'm really, really excited to lead this discussion on housing and how to build generational wealth here in the district. Today, I'm joined by Cherie Tazewell, a Ward 7 resident who recently purchased her first home.
Hey.
Yay, that's exciting. Welcome, Cherie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. So you recently purchased your first home, and we're really excited about that. I know this can be for some a difficult time, but let's talk about for a minute how you prepared for this huge milestone and highlight some of the preparation process, some of the resources you use in the city, and how our residents can help.
Okay. So so I was renting in Ward 7. And so I started because we have a couple of, my mother became a real estate agent about 5 years ago. And after I had my son is 9 now, I decided that I really wanted to purchase, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay east of the river. I wanted to purchase my home. I'm a city girl. I didn't want to move to state, you know, move to Maryland that my sisters were moving out there.
That's right.
And so I really wanted to, take advantage. And so the first thing I did was like, oh, okay, what is my credit score? What does it look like? And so, I went to Industrial Bank and, you know, and I sat down and was like, okay, I want to see if I qualify for a home loan. And they were like, okay, well, what preparation have you done? Like, did you look at any houses? What do you think want to buy? And so from looking at, the DC housing website, I chose housing counseling service because it was close to my place of business, right?
Okay.
And so I went there for an orientation where they discussed getting ready, being prepared, being financially prepared. And after the 2-hour orientation, they're like, anybody, you know, think they're ready for the program and use one of the programs, you know, come and make an appointment. So I made an appointment and I was all gung-ho. I'm like, okay, I think that I'm making the right amount of money. My credit score is where it needs to be for the HPAP program. And so I'm ready to fill out my application. And so I go back to the loan officer and fill out the loan application. And then I bring all my paperwork in and they're like, oops, your debt to income ratio, it's a little bit too high.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so debt to income ratio for our listeners out there.
So the debt to income ratio is the amount that you have in debt and what you're paying monthly based on what you're lending and what you, affordability is.
Exactly.
And so that's where, you know, and initially I was like, well, what are you talking about? Because I'm paying my bills on time.
Right.
You know, but I'm paying the minimums. I had student loans. And I was like, but I'm not leaning on any other resources. I'm not getting any government assistance. So I should be ready. You know, and my credit score was where it needed to be. And they're like, no, you have to really work on that. So at Housing Counseling Services, they gave you a list of things that you needed to do. They gave you a monthly calculator. Mm-hmm. And so you had, and you know, and because I really wanted to use HPAP, HPAP has income limits. And so I couldn't say, oh, well, let me work a weekend job, because I didn't want to be over the income limit in order to receive the funds.
Yeah.
So that was a strain for me because I was like, I'm right on the border, you know? And so what I did was I had to be very creative, and my counselor was there to prep you through it. They're like, what can you give up? Can you cook more meals at prep? Are you using too much in gas? Do you driving into work versus the metro? Right. Do all of those different things, changes. Those little changes. And so I did that for like 3 or 4 months, and then I paid off my student loan at last, you know? And so as I was bringing down my debt, I was like seeing where I can save. And then so when I was ready, my counselor was like, okay, now I think that we're ready to apply. And so it was like 6 months later, and they kept me going. They told me, don't give up, because it was some months where I was like, this is not going to work. I'm a wreck. Right.
And I think, to your point with the counselor's support, you have somebody there that's coaching you and can help give you those tidbits step by step, because it's those little tweaks that help you get over the finish line.
Yes. So, and then you realize that the amount that you're paying in rent, you can be a homeowner.
Absolutely.
So, and then they list the programs. And so I was like, how can I use all of these programs? So I had the HPAP program.
Okay. That's one.
And then I had the IZ unit program. The IZ unit is for you to get new property, brand new built, right? At a discounted price. And you can use those in conjunction. And then I use a third one as well, which is Neighborhood Lift by Manna. So it was working in conjunction to Wells Fargo, and you didn't have to use, they gave a list of lenders that you can actually use with that. And so that was an extra $20K on top of the $40K that HPAP give you, along with the discounted unit of a new property. So I used all three.
So you were very resourceful,
yes,
and using district government programs, but also some of the partners that we fund through DHCD. So that's awesome.
Yes, it was really awesome.
Do you have any other tips in terms of how you prepared mentally? Or maybe if there were some things you had to change with your family, how you, you know.
Yeah, so the money. Things that I did, you do have to change your spending habits. You have to really use the calculators that they give you and really watch. Like, I was keeping receipts. So at the end of, when I got to Friday, I was like, how many times did I swipe? Because you know, you're not keeping cash anymore, but you're swiping for everything. You know, how many coffees do you buy? Do you always stop in at McDonald's for some fries?
Right. 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven. Slurpees. Yeah. Cut it out.
Just
cut it out. You can have those after you purchase your home.
Exactly.
Yes, definitely.
Then you may not do that and save and then invest that money that you've been saving. So that's really cool. That's awesome. So in terms of the different programs that you had through the city, were there any additional resources that you may have had?
Just those three. Manna, I heard about at the end of my process. Like, I was actually under contract.
Okay.
And I heard a commercial, and I kept hearing the commercial about it, and I was like, wait a minute. They say that you can use that with HPAP and other programs. And so I got online, I researched it. I called my counselor and said, hey, is this correct? Because the only thing, if you're using the IZ, you're really your own agent. You need to be diligent. You need to read through it. And the resources are there. It's just that you need to make sure that you understand and ask questions. They only have an answer for you. And if that's not the right person, they'll point you in the right direction, or they'll say, no, you don't qualify.
Right.
But you have to ask. If you never if you never ask, then you won't get the answer. So you don't know what opportunity is out there for you. So every time I went and I sat in front, when I was sitting in front of my lender, I said, is there anything else that you heard about? Is there anything else out there that I can use?
That's right.
To make sure that I had the resources. And then just in casual conversation at church, at baseball games, I was like, is there any other resources? Did you hear anything else?
I love that. That's a really great point that you make, because we are a community. So it's the government and its resources, but churches, you know, our schools may have information. Sometimes the rec centers, libraries, we're a whole community in the city.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that you leaned on the community to get additional support and resources.
Yes, thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your new home, where you are.
So my new home is on Capitol Hill.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. And so it's a condo. And that's another thing. When you're in your process, you have to decide what's best for you. You know, do you want a condo? And then you look at your condo association fees and weigh those out. You know, what's included, what's not included in them. And then if you want to buy a single family home or a row house, like brownstones, you know, attached homes, you have to decide, okay, am I going to be cutting grass? What am I going to pay for utilities? What's my water bill going to look like? What's my gas bill going to be? And you weigh that. Well, I know for me as a single mom, well, I wanted to be in a condo. Why? I didn't want any extra maintenance, right? So I wanted to be a condo, have a parking spot, be able to hop on a metro. I wanted to be right in the heart of things, where my siblings live a little further out, or they really wanted to be like in Hillcrest. They want to cut grass. They want a backyard, invite people over. Deck in the barbecue grill was okay for me. Because you have to really decide what was best for you and then work towards that goal.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's another great point. Sometimes a single family doesn't work for everyone. Maybe you want to live in a condo or some type of multi-unit dwelling, and that option is available.
And that option is definitely available. And you have to decide what part of the city that you want to be in, what resources that you want to be close to. And all I kept saying to myself, oh no, when they do the census, they're going to know that I'm here and I'm a homeowner and I'm going to need a grocery store and I'm going to need this.
That's right.
But that's be why counted. It's very, yes, I want to be counted in and not forgotten. No, so yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited.
That's awesome. We're really excited for you. And wish you well on your journey as a homeowner. You know that the city's here for any additional resources you need. I know we have a program, I think it's roots2roofdc.com for additional housing resources. And all of you out there, make sure if you see Sherry, you just give her a big hug and congratulate her on her new home. And she's going to be out there spreading the gospel on how we can get more homeowners here in the district.
I just was sharing that I'm actually going to study to be a real estate agent because I want to help. Yeah, so that'll be my side part-time gig. But I feel like the more I know about the laws, the licenses, and the rules, it'll help. And I'm supposed to pass that down because I think that 20 years ago, if I really had this information, if it's shared when I'm in college and I'm graduating, not to rent, be a homeowner, I just feel like my community, like I would own a piece of east of the river, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, if I had that information. So I think that it's my obligation to share it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm right with you. As a proud Ward 7 resident and east of the river supporter. So definitely here for that. Thank you so much.
thank you for having me again.
We really appreciate you coming on to the show. Again, everyone, go to roots2roofdc.com for more information on housing programs and resources available in the city.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the EOTR podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share this episode, and join us next time to learn more about programs and resources available in the district. You too can join the conversation by using hashtag EOTRPodDC or email us at EOTRPod@dc.gov.